Hey, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you from our beautiful Redmond studios here at... Oh, I'm going to start again. Sorry about that. I made a mistake. Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you from our beautiful Channel 9 studios here on the Redmond campuses. And I'm here with a special guest. We're talking to Visual Studio Integration Partners, and we have one here today. Tell us who you are and what you do, my friend.
Well, my name is Iqbal Khan. I'm a technology evangelist at Alachisoft.
Okay.
We have a product called NosDB, okay. Which is a NoSQL document database for .NET.
Okay.
We've had a product called Ncache, which is a distributed caching for .NET for a long time. So we're in this application scalability space, and we recently launched NosDB in that space.
So for those that are not familiar with what a NoSQL database is, can you give sort of an elevator pitch on why they would use it?
Okay. Well, there are two main reasons why people consider a NoSQL database. Number one is that they want flexibility in their programming. They don't want the strict relational schema which enforces a structure.
Sure.
And a lot of the modern data is what we call the new data is, more suitable for a NoSQL JSON type of a document structure where you can change the documents from one entry to the other. And the second reason is people want scalability. So there's a lot of high transaction applications, and relational databases become a bottleneck. Although you can use caching for that as well, and that's where Ncache exists. But for a lot of data where you can get flexibility and scalability at the same time, that's why people use NoSQL.
So do you have an example of maybe customers that are using NosDB and what their sort of applications are like?
Okay. For example, we've got lots of customers in the financial services space for Ncache also, and so we're seeing that for their traditional data, the financial data, they are continuing to use the relational databases.
Sure.
But for the new data, for example, for an employee PTO application, for employee satisfaction application, they are going to use mobile as the main platform, and they want NoSQL as the database. There are a lot of other situations where you may need to take pictures mm-hmm. or do other things and store that data. Social media is a very good example where people need flexible data structures. So the NoSQL database is not here to replace relational. It is always going to augment with some data is going to be stored in NoSQL, and the traditional business data is going to be stored in relational.
So that's interesting. But when I've heard about NoSQL databases, generally there's this notion of you have multiple and they sort of talk to one another. And is it the same with NosDB?
Yes, NosDB is a sharded database, so it scales in a linear fashion. So you can create a cluster, multiple shards, and every shard can have multiple database servers. It also does replication.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll actually show you that in the actual demo. You can run NosDB either on-premises or in the cloud. Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually give you a demo in Azure.
Fantastic. So let's dive in. Let's see how we get this started.
Okay. So I have two virtual machines in Azure that I'm going to use as my database servers. And I'm already logged into them. So I'm going to use demo one at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use this tool called NosDB Management Studio. Notice how a lot of the terminology is very similar to SQL
sure.
Server, because our focus is .NET developers. And NosDB is a native .NET product. So that's why. So I'm just going to name my cluster. I'll just call it demo cluster. And you can use Windows authentication or NosDB authentication. I'll use Windows authentication. I'll use shard 1. I'm going to add a server as my primary server in shard 1 and a secondary. Secondary means it will be replicated. So the data is going to be replicated. So I'm going to have one shard here. Let me add another shard, shard 2. And again, now I'm going to have a different server as the primary and a different one as a secondary.
I see. So what you're doing is you're using both servers to both exist as shards but also replicate over to one another.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got lots of flexibility. You could, if you had four servers, you could create two primary and two secondary as dedicated ones. If you only have two servers, NASDB allows you to create two shards. Every server has one primary. So let's say it's .5 is the primary for shard 1, and .6 is the primary for shard 2. Mm-hmm. And .5 becomes the secondary for shard 2, and .6 becomes the secondary shard 2. So it's kind of a shared replicas. Sure. So you get the scalability, but at the same time, you're replicating data. So once you've created a cluster, now you can create one or more databases on top of it. I'm going to actually use a PowerShell script to create a Northwind database.
Fantastic.
That's something a lot of people are already familiar with. So I'm going to come here and launch PowerShell. So NASDB provides full integration with PowerShell. A lot of the administration stuff that you want to do through scripting is all PowerShell.
Fantastic.
So I will connect to the database cluster, and I will run a script. And the script that I'm going to run is it comes as a sample in this case with NASDB. So I'm just going to come here, go to NASDB, samples, data, JSON. I'll copy that, put that here, and I'll put northwind.ps1. That's what this script is.
Got it. And that's just so that you can start out with something that you can play with, like real data. Because usually when you start with empty sheet, you get this sort of writer's block.
Yeah. So, you know, this gives you a familiar database with sample data.
Got it.
So I'm just going to run this. Let me actually show you what that script looks like. I'm just going to open it here. So I've got it on my laptop here also. I'll open it in Notepad++. So here, as you can see, it's a PowerShell script. It goes through its own stuff and creates the database. Then it creates a bunch of collections.
Mm-hmm.
And then it adds data in them.
Got it.
So let's go back to the database. It has created them now. So I've got my database. I'm just going to hit refresh here, and I have my Northwind database. I can come here and say select top 1,000 rows. It's going to give me, I can see it in a tabular format.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly the Northwind data, as you can see, the ALFKI.
Sure, sure.
So, and then you can see it also in the JSON.
It's native kind of.
Yeah, so I could, for example, copy this row. I can paste it here. And, so as you can see, it is a JSON document.
Sure.
So now that I have created this database, I'm going to also do something, which is that we provide a stress testing tool with it so that you can kind of test the whole thing.
Sure.
Because, just to make sure that it works in your environment and you have a comfort level with it. So I'm going to actually, for the test, I'm going to go back to the PowerShell, and I will go into the databases. I will go into the Northwind scope. And now I'm going to run test stress. This is a script that comes with NASDB. It just creates a dummy collection, adds some data in it. So if you see, it has just made this collection here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also view some Perfmon statistics, which will show me what's that it's actually. This script is talking to both the shards.
Mm-hmm.
I can also come here, and there's a NASDB monitor tool, which is a dashboard style tool. It's similar to Ncache, which also has a tool like this. It gives you a centralized view of the entire database cluster.
Got it.
And that kind of makes it easier, you know, just like anything that runs in production, you want to be able to monitor this.
Sure.
So the IT people or the DBAs are also happy. So this basically is all it took to create a database. And now we can see how you would actually use it.
Yeah, and that was going to be the next question, because setting things up is super nice. And the idea that you already have a collection just ready-made to just populate and play with is nice. But now I'd like to see, what does it look like from the .NET side when you're actually consuming the collections?
Very good. So there are actually four different ways that you can access the database. So there's the, so I'm just going to come here. So there's the, what we call our document API.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a NASDB API. So NASDB API will have a document API and the execute reader reader paradigm, like you have with SQL Server. So we just call them two different mechanisms.
Got it.
Then you can also use ADO.NET. So NASDB provides an ADO.NET provider. And that way, and the beauty of ADO.NET is even if you're not programming to ADO.NET, you can plug in third-party controls with ADO.NET. And the fourth is you can use Link.
Got it.
So let's quickly go through. I'm going to use the document API first.
Let's do it. So
here's my, it's a sample project in Visual Studio 2015. So I've got NASDB client, NASDB common, and serialization is what I've got, and also the distributor. And I will have these four namespaces used here. And actually these three namespaces. The fourth one is just my own objects here. So, and then at the beginning of the application, you connect to the database. So you do a NASDB, client.nasdb get database, and there's a connection string which kind of gives the name of the database.
Now, is the connection string something that's in the app settings?
Yeah. So yes, it is in the app settings, but the app settings actually gives you the, so there's the connection string.
Got it.
So as you can see, it said the database is Northwind, and
so it's something that you're familiar with if you're a programmer. Yeah.
It looks very much like a SQL Server type of a connection string. You connect to the database, and now that you have the database, because we're using the document API, so we're going to get a DB collection object.
Okay.
And I've got a product collection in the database. If you remember,
sure.
I've got my products here. So I'm going to basically just bend this a little bit here. So I will go and get my products collection. This object will represent the products collection. Now I can go ahead and add documents to it. And the way I add documents, I just create a normal list,
mm-hmm.
make a list of product objects, and then at the end of it, and I'll also make keys of this, and then at the end of it, I will just say insert documents. So product collection was my database collection up there, that one right here.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to call the insert documents method, which will take my product, the collection of product objects, and it's going to go ahead and insert them. The write concern is a paradigm where I'm going to say, first write it in memory, and then in the background write it in the database.
Because it's a little bit faster, returns faster.
That's to gain performance. Even there, NASDB has a very reliable mechanism, as much as any NoSQL database can. It has a concept of a journal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to write this to a journal first, and then it's going to write to the actual shards to make sure that even if something goes wrong, no data is lost.
So when I'm looking at this, I notice that you have to sort of manage your own keys. Is that true? Of when you're entering stuff, you have to do your own key?
In a typical document, you can specify a GUID as a key.
Mm-hmm.
In a typical NASDB document, if you see this here, the data that we saw here,
since that one's from the regular, yeah.
But as you can see, it actually creates a GUID. So NASDB automatically assigns a key to every row.
I see.
So that key is what is used for distribution.
I see.
So, and everything is based off of that key in terms of making sure that the distribution is done properly.
And so you don't have to worry about making sure that you have unique keys. It will create keys for you, but then you can add other keys that help with your stuff.
Of course. So that's the whole idea, because a sharded database is based on unique keys,
mm-hmm.
and they have to be unique in the entire system.
Right.
So the responsibility of creating that is NASDB's.
Got it.
It does that automatically for you.
So we saw the sort of the regular sort of your document API.
Right.
Let's take a look at some of your other ones.
Okay. Well, let's see the other. So the other NASDB API is what we call the SQL API, which is the execute reader paradigm. Everything else is the same in terms of the namespaces here. You go and get your database.
Yeah.
Except now, you do an database.execute non query for inserting,
mm-hmm.
or you can do database dot execute reader, and you'll get a DB collection reader object back. And
right.
then just like SQL Server, you can iterate over it and either fetch individual columns mm-hmm. or attributes in this case, or get the entire object.
Interesting. And so that's so if you've done this kind of thing before and using this style of coding, you won't really have to change too much.
Yeah. So the whole idea is that we want to stay as close to the current knowledge base. So the use of a NoSQL database should be as transparent or as seamless as possible.
Interesting.
But of course, there are things that you, for example, you may have an embedded object.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an embedded object called category in the product itself. Because a product has a one-to-many with, or many-to-one with a category. So in this case, you would get the entire embedded object back, which is something that you would not be able to do with a relational database, because that's
right.
it's all flat structure.
So you mentioned that you have your document API. You mentioned you have sort of this SQL type-based API. There was one with link, is that right?
Yes. And there's, I'm gonna take you to the link. So in the link API, again, you would have the same references, and then you would basically come here and you would use the nosdb.client.link as the namespace. And once you have done that, again, you connect to the database in the same fashion as anything else. You do
mm-hmm.
a get database. But now you come here and you do an iQueryable.
Correct.
And so then you first get the DB updatable object called product you get the product updatable, and then the products collection is your DB collection. So that's
which we had before.
Which is the document API.
Sure.
So from that document API, you get a queryable called product. And then you can actually, if I were to, let's first do the search. So you could actually do a link collection search where you can say products product query where x dot units in stock greater than 150 and so on and so forth. So this actually gives you back, this actually is search issuing a query on NosDB.
Right, with projection, it looks like. You're projecting to a new object.
So it's also projecting object. It's also doing the criteria. So you, if you're comfortable with link, you can stay in link and use the NosDB's link provider.
Right.
To go and fetch the data. Not only can you fetch the data, but NosDB also allows you to add data. So, for example, you could go ahead and use link syntax to go ahead and add. So you could say product updatable
mm-hmm.
Dot insert, and then you get the same product object. And when you do the update,
there it is.
Yeah,
there's an update. Yeah.
So you could do the update again with the link type of a syntax. So again, trying to provide mechanisms for accessing the database that are familiar to the .NET development community. There's one fourth one called the ADO.NET,
okay.
which is again. So I'm going to give you some. So in the ADO.NET, you don't reference any of the NosDB. Library, just reference the ADO.NET provider.
I see.
So it has to be a standard ADO.NET, right?
Correct.
So, and then you've got app.config, which will have your connection string, and then you've got your ADO.NET provider registered here. And then within the application, again, you've got the standard system.data. And within the application, you're no longer getting the NosDB database. Notice it's all ADO.NET, so there's a factory object, and then the factory gets you it creates the connection, and then you can use the connection string and do connection out open, and then you do the standard ADO.NET queries to go and fetch the data from the NosDB database.
There you go, and so you're able to sort of use it in a way that's familiar to you.
Exactly.
So where can people go to find out more about this particular product?
Okay. So our website is alachisoft.com,
mm-hmm.
And you can come here and go to the NosDB page, and you there's a lot of information available on NosDB, on NoSQL. You can also go to the download page, and download. I would strongly recommend that you download the Enterprise Edition, even if you end up using the open source one. Our open source is proper Apache 2.0 open source. Or you can go to GitHub and go to the Alachisoft, or just type GitHub/NOSDB, and then it's going to get you to the NOSDB. So both are the ways that you can go ahead and download NOSDB.
So I didn't know this. You didn't mention this. NOSDB is actually open source?
Yes, it is open source, Apache 2.0. So it's totally free unless you want to get the Enterprise Edition, which has more features. The Enterprise Edition is built on top of the open source.
Got it.
So the open source, the only limitations it has is features.
Got it.
There are no limitations in terms of the number of instances or anything. And you can use them in any type of project.
Fantastic. Well, this is awesome.
Thank you very much.
We've been learning about NOSDB from Alachisoft, from one of the Visual Studio Integration partners. We're here again at Channel 9 Studios. My name is Seth Juarez, and we'll see you next time. Take care.